A reading from the book of Genesis. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called his elder son Esau and said to him, "My son," and he answered, "Here I am." He said, "See, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. Then prepare for me savory food, such as I like, and bring it to me to eat, so that I may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt his game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Go to the flock and get me 2 choice kids, so that I may prepare them for them savory food for your father, such as he likes. And you shall take it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies." Then Rebekah took the best garments of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. And she put the skins of the kids on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she handed the savory food and the bread that she was prepared, that she had prepared for her son Jacob. So Jacob went in to his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, so that you may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near, that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." So Jacob went up to his father Isaac, who felt him, and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy, like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed them. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So Jacob brought it to him, and he ate. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him, and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven, and of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." The word of the Lord. The story of Esau and Jacob is so familiar to us, a story of intrigue and duplicity. What can we make of it? And what about God going along with it all? I think this biblical text expresses the condition of our broken humanity with its propensity to take the easy way out and to cut moral corners. The story of Jacob and Esau illustrates the sins we are all prone to in greater or smaller ways. I would like to reflect on this story through the lens of our call to mission. Each of us is called by God for a specific mission. St. Paul makes an important point when he writes, God chose us when we were yet sinners. We accomplish our purpose not through human strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit and God's infinite mercy. All our chosen ancestors in the faith were sinners. Jacob and Esau are not that unusual. God seems to delight in choosing the big sinners to do the greatest works. The success of their mission came with their willingness to change and to be obedient to God in an ongoing process. God chooses the weak of this world to confound the wise. God rejects no one. God loved both Jacob and Esau and forgave their sins. Both brothers fulfilled their destiny. Jacob, during his life, listened to God and became holy. He was called to carry the covenant promises. God, who sees the heart, knew Jacob would be the person best fitted to lead Israel, despite his initial dishonesty. Esau was also blessed in family, land, livestock, and magnanimity of spirit in forgiving his brother. God does not see as we see, nor judge as we judge. God sees the heart. Our culture tends to see the superficial and judge by appearances. Outward beauty, popularity, and the drive to succeed are high on the list of qualities. God chooses the least likely. This gives great hope to those of us who seem to be the most unlikely choice. God can and will do great things in us and through us. Grace sustains us and brings our life task to fulfillment. If we sincerely say yes and stick to it, God walks with us and is powerful to work through us despite our weakness. As a matter of fact, our weakness in the face of our spiritual success gives loud and clear witness to God's grace at work. There was a period in my life as a young sister when I felt God was calling me to step out in trust. I hesitated, afraid of my weakness. I had to laugh at myself, and I think God laughed too. Did I really believe my weakness was greater than God's strength? Are there not times for all of us when we think and act as though salvation depended on us? Our mission depends on God's goodness and steadfast love, rather than our strength. Let us take God more seriously and realize we can do all things in God who supports us. We can really relax and take ourselves a little less seriously. The spiritual journey is best undertaken with a good sense of humor.